He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Baby, you can drop my call.
Hello to our listeners on this edition of Car Keys with Jada Markin and Robin Leach. We are in the middle of the 2024 year of automobile sales. For those who hear this show maybe later on from when it was actually taped. And topics that I would like to cover, and Jay's got a few too, are some general ones that seem to be coming into focus as we move through the transition in sales from combustion engine cars to hybrids and into probably at some point in the future, majority of pure electric vehicles. Although, there are articles out in some of the periodicals I read that say that manufacturers are not giving up on combustion engines and that there is a small little corner of one of my magazines saying, quote, Auto, BMW, Mercedes-Benz, and Mini say they are investing in combustion engines today, even as they plan for electrically powered vehicles tomorrow. That says a lot about where the manufacturers or what the manufacturers have learned from the applied rush towards electric-only combustion vehicles versus their pulling back some of their projected thoughts on that in terms of production dates for transition. And it looks like some of us on this show have and me in particular, have been sort of touting that I didn't think that it was probably going to happen as quickly as some people thought it might. Jay, what do you think?
Well, we go over this all the time. I think
we do. We go it over all the time.
I think EVs are coming. They have been coming, and I think they're going to come quicker than you might think. Yes, it's still a small part of the market, and the legacy manufacturers like Ford and GM and the European manufacturers are struggling to have sales that are even close to what their ICE cars reach as far as sales. I mean, I think last year, GM was selling 3% of their sales were electric cars. So they are far from going mainstream on electric vehicles, and they're tiptoeing into it.
Well,
the problem
is
they really are tiptoeing into it, and there's, I think, huge resistance from their dealer networks. And this is why, you know, new manufacturers, startups like Tesla, Rivian, Lucid, have been able to make inroads in that market. I mean, Tesla and BYD in China, let's not forget about the Chinese manufacturers, are selling, Tesla's selling a million vehicles a year or more. I mean, that's huge. The Model Y is the best-selling vehicle on the planet, bar none. So I do think they're here to stay. Yes, manufacturers are being careful and are still developing, internal combustion engines. But I think that the shift is inevitable. And look at the latest models coming out from Audi. They are dropping certain ICE models and replacing them with pure electric. I mean, the new Audi A6 e-tron is just a great all-around car. It's kind of replacing the existing Audi A6. So are they going to come back from that? Are the two going to run side by side? Yes, sure. But I think electric cars are the way to go. So I've been looking at new cars coming on the market, but also like Lucid, the Lucid Air, which I saw at Lime Rock a few weeks ago, and it's a it's a really cool car, and we have seen a few here. I just came across an article in Inside EV that mentions that it is the the most efficient electric vehicle out there. And the problem with electric vehicles, we have been so obsessed with range that we forget about efficiency. And, you know, we kind of have to dial it back a little bit on that whole range obsession and really see, you know, what is really, you know, what is most efficient, what consumes least energy. And to that effect, the new GM, you know, the Hummer and their big electric vehicles, yes, have a lot of range, but they also are very, very inefficient. So, and the Lucid Air has great range and is efficient. And yes, it is an expensive vehicle because it starts at around $70,000. But for that kind of money, you get a really, really nice car, and they're coming out with an SUV soon. So,
well, to that point, I think there's no question, and I will jump in because you really trigger one of the biggest problems with the vehicles like the Lucid and the Audis are that they are high-priced market vehicles at many levels, and one of the limits, of course, to purchasing electric vehicles for the common person or the less wealthy person buyer is bringing the prices down and giving them a good value vehicle. Chevrolet is doing that with one of their SUVs. I can't remember the model, Jay, but I bet you know which it is. And I think it's under $40,000 with a lot of features. And I think it'll sell to a great many people.
This is before the $7,500 credit.
Yeah, but you know, there's an inherent problem going on here. Is when do you reach the break-even point manufacturing electric vehicles?
Well, they haven't gotten
because,
there, Mike.
And no,
I,
no, they
I
haven't.
Jumped in on that, but I don't want to belabor it onto our listeners on that point because they don't care.
But that's going to be
the buyers don't care about that. Everybody is probably losing money on every electric vehicle produced.
But this is why companies are hedging doing this because they're not seeing where that point comes that they've got to make money. You can't continue to lose tens of thousands of dollars on every vehicle.
Well,
there's also one other thing I'm going to throw in, the battery thing. There's a lot of debate now about the lithium-ion batteries, and there's the sodium-ion, there's the solid-state batteries, which there's a lot of talk about developing those to literally replace so I think that's another hole. These cars are not ready for prime time. That's all there is to it. And that's both from the manufacturer's point of view and from the consumer's point of view. And
that's
so the sooner people allow these to morph, find a decent battery for them, and that's part of your efficiency too because there's a weight factor, there's also a range factor, and the manufacturers can actually see the timeline where, okay, here's where my new electric car at this level is now profitable for me.
Okay, and so not being a fan of Mr. Musk, we do have to acknowledge that we were all very skeptical on this show a few years ago about Tesla's future, and look at where they are now. And that company is, you know, I know the Tesla stock has gone way up and way down, but they are in business, and that is all they do is electric vehicles. And they have proven to be, they are profitable, or they wouldn't be around anymore.
No, they're pulling back on production right now because sales have been falling.
Well, that's because they're
true, but I think there's a bigger issue with the car market in general. I think, and I think there's a slowdown in the car market, and not just EVs. So obviously,
right.
Tesla is on a slowing down pattern too. But overall, they still have been able to gain critical mass, and I think that is the problem for the new. So there's legacy manufacturers like Ford and GM and the Europeans, and then there are the new manufacturers like Tesla, which has proven us, I guess, wrong to some point. And then there's Rivian and Lucid. I love the Lucid car, but you look at production, and we're looking at they have like 4,000 sales for the first half of the year.
Losing an extraordinary amount of money on each
one. Minuscule by any standard.
Mike would like to say.
But, you know, other manufacturers are doing better. Rivian is another problem. Yes, you know, the company is still bleeding money, but they are scaling up production. And I do think that I don't think electric vehicles are going to replace everything, but for certain markets, for certain applications, they are the way to go. There is no reason our postal delivery vehicles should not be electric. They putt around town for a half an hour, 2 hours a day, and then they sit until the next morning. There's no reason we cannot have fully electric delivery vehicles.
You hint at a larger topic on that, and that is the number of charging stations that are going to have to be available so that everyone that is electric that used, and many post offices have at least a minimum of four vehicles, maybe three in Sharon or Salisbury or Lakeville, but I see four parked at some places. They're all going to have to recharge unless there's and have either their own hookup or else a multi-hookup unit so that they can, with long cords, so that they can charge these vehicles every night, every day of the year. And if it goes to the point where all the postal operations, locations have only electric vehicles, then you're going to have the discussion about costs of electricity or availability of enough electricity to do that. What with electricity being used excessively in doing Bitcoin production and all sorts of other things that are going on behind the scenes, which have nothing to do with this show. So let's get off this topic, because I, as a listener, would not want to sit there listening to us talk about the industry situation. The question is are the listeners wanting to buy an electric car? And many are, and many aren't. And that is
fine.
An ongoing situation which I run into when I'm on the street talking to people about their purchases of an electric vehicle when I see them step out of one. Well, you know, are you happy with it is what I start out with, and then that discussion can go on for 10 to 15 minutes.
So
let me just say one more thing about electric vehicles. And you can come back to it if you want, Jay, to talk about Toyota. Toyota is undergoing a most amazing warranty recall of any manufacturer I have ever known, and they are going to win, as much as it's going to cost them to do it, they're going to win so much loyalty and appreciation from Toyota owners that I hope the American industry learns from, and I'm sure all other industries, manufacturers should learn from, particularly those who like to avoid owning up to a problem the way Toyota's owning up to the problem of replacing 100,000 engines in two particular vehicles that they do. There's a great editorial in Automotive News this week lauding Toyota's decision to do it the right way, which is to replace the engines, not try to put blame on users, not try to figure out a way to repair the engines, but just replace them at whatever cost it is.
Which model is
Hallelujah
that?
Hallelujah to Toyota.
What
2022 and 23 Tundra pickups are amongst them. And then there's a Lexus model that I am.
So we're probably talking about,
talking about this. Jay may know it. Very few of those, probably 6,000 or so. And it's going to cost them $500 million or more to do this. And it's going to take 22 to 36 hours to replace each engine at a dealer that's going to have the ability to do that. And you can just imagine what the labor costs are going to be. So hallelujah to Toyota. And the owners of those particular vehicles will probably get a loaner to drive while their vehicle is off the road for maybe 2 to 3 days. But it's the only way to do it. So much
hallelujah
to that, Toyota users. Good luck
Toyota.
To all you
Tundra
sure owners and Lexus owners that will have your vehicles recalled if anybody's listening that owns one of those vehicles. Next,
Jay. Do you have one of those vehicles?
I do not.
No. All right. So I did want to talk about one more thing in the EV, and I don't like jumping back and forth, but yes, there's the issue of affordability, and you had brought it up. But we are starting to see now used cars, used electric vehicles.
Correct.
You know, and there are a number of good deals out there. I have never really looked at you know all the auto traders and car gurus of this world where you can see all the millions of used cars for sale in this country. But it's pretty impressive to see that you can buy a 2019-2020 Tesla, and again, I'm not a huge Tesla fan these days, but you can buy a car with around 60,000 miles for $20,000 to $25,000. That's a good deal for a car that will go a long way more. And on top of that, I did a quick search this morning, and there are IRS tax credits on used vehicles under $25,000 in the amount of $4,000. And like the new vehicles, there are some conditions. But the point is, there are deals out there on used EVs. So you can get into an electric vehicle for a lot less than the $70,000-$80,000 that it takes to get into a Rivian or a Cybertruck or Mercedes EQS.
Yes.
Anyway.
That's true. Hyundai is another manufacturer whose used vehicles can be bought at a very good, or have been at least up to now, or maybe even continuing. And one of them is the Ioniq, what is it, the 5?
Five. Yep.
SUV that used to cost, or that was, or it may still be costing new at somewhere between $50,000 and up, or $40,000 and up, and can be, I saw one for sale over a year ago at a Chevrolet dealership in Torrington for $28,000. It had 22,000 miles on it, and all I could think of is, boy, that buyer that was coming to look at it the evening I happened to be visiting the dealership, and it was out there waiting for the person coming to look at it, or people coming to look at it to maybe buy it. What a deal that was. I have mentioned this loosely on an earlier show because a friend of mine bought one of those same vehicles new the dealer markup was $5,000 over when they first came out and you couldn't get these vehicles because everybody wanted one and the production wasn't up. And he ended up buying it at over the list price. He still owes $40,000 on it because he financed it. And this vehicle is the same one that I saw for sale for $28,000. And this guy still owns one and owes $40,000 on it, or maybe it's down to $38,000 now. He only has 23,000 miles on it. So that is the problem that the dealers are having if they are taking them in on trade, I suppose. But you're right, Jay. The way to go, use Priuses. One of the best-selling used vehicles in the electric world earlier on when they were the majority of Toyotas were Priuses back then. And they are still good buys. And I'll bet you can get those for under $20,000 since they don't cost a whole lot over $20,000 as new. They may be available at $10,000. The only issue I have warning listeners that might look at them is that they need to ask questions about the battery packs. Have they been replaced as used vehicles? And because the warranties on battery packs that I have noted range from about, I think on new ones, 8 years or 100,000 miles. And so if you see a used Prius or a used Hyundai or a used any used electric vehicle and it's got over 50,000 miles on it, the question is, are you at risk of having to cost replace a battery pack? And I do not know the cost replacement for battery packs. I have heard that a Hummer battery pack is like $40,000 if it goes bad. That's a lot of money, but nobody's going to tell you that.
And nobody's buying a Hummer, to save money or.
That's true, but nobody's asking the question or even thinking about it either when they buy the Hummer new.
No,
who cares? You know, they're happy with their Hummer. But as far as vehicles like Priuses and Teslas and all that. Jay, you know the batteries have lasted a long time on the Teslas.
Well, and this is just anecdote. I think I've mentioned that last week or the week before. I ran into somebody who bought a used Tesla. It was a Screamer deal. Model S, and he bought it with 50,000 miles, and now it's got 110,000 miles, and his battery has lost 1%
of its capability.
110,000 miles. Now that can
which tells you that the batteries are not necessarily wearing out, except in maybe specific cases. I have said on this show that I have a Hyundai Sonata Hybrid, and it came with lifetime battery warranty for the life of the original user. I now have 110,000 miles on it and don't plan on getting rid of it anytime soon, but I have no range anxiety or cost anxiety for the replacement of the batteries, of the hybrid batteries, because I have a lifetime warranty on it. That was back when Hyundai was doing it. I do not think they are offering lifetime battery warranties on their current Sonatas and hybrid vehicles. But it doesn't make any difference. So the market shows that these battery packs, and the hybrids at any rate, have well exceeded most of their warranty mileage claims and keep on going. So I don't think that's
to jump from one thing to another, talking about roads and infrastructure and summer driving and end of summer driving, has anybody noticed that a lot of roads are being repaved?
Yes.
And both very locally, I noticed in Sharon we had new roads, new pavement between here and going towards Bradley Airport. There's a whole section of brand new pavement.
Right.
If you go down Route 22, it's kind of very smooth and very nice.
22 in New York?
Hmm?
In New York now. You switched from Sharon to New York.
I'm noticing, you know, there's a lot of road work being done across the board. And it's
point
great.
Being?
The point being, it's great. It's great not to have your fillings fall out of your teeth when you're driving on the road.
I'm also very interested from an engineering standpoint. Sorry, listeners, to do this to you. I think we're running out of time anyways. But I'm noticing that the new road that was paved, I think within 2 years, between Lakeville and Millerton is starting to fall apart. And, Jay, you should look at it the next time you go, and you should feel the bumps that you're coming into. There are places that are sinking underneath the pavement. And you should also look at the center line area of the road all the way to Millerton and see all the fissures that are starting to show up in that road. And I'm wondering whether there's a warranty on new pavement or not.
I don't know. We'll look into
that's it. All we have to talk about on that.
I think with the pavement, real quickly, that they're having independent contractors doing a lot of work, too. And honestly, when the state does it, I don't think you get the same quality as you do with the independent contractors.
Okay.
Enough said.
I don't know about the road between Lakeville and Millerton. I mean, I know of it.
Look at it now. Just
recent work being done. I'm really impressed. On Route 22, they're working at night, and they're doing huge sections at a time. I mean,
and they were needed.
Every night, there's a huge section being
Jay,
done.
You want to bring up e-bikes, please? We're getting close.
Oh, e-bikes.
Let's move on. Okay.
I thought it was funny. I ran across an article this morning, and this rental company is starting an e-cargo bike rental operation in Boston, and they're business model is a little different from all the city bikes, those blue bikes you find in New York and other cities, including Boston, I think, in that they only have, they have a dozen cargo bikes at this point and in four different locations, and you have to bring the bikes back to the location. But they're trying to make a point that, a bike is not always sufficient. You need more storage room if you're going grocery shopping or even transporting a passenger. And that you can do that with an e-cargo bike.
Well, what is the cargo carrier on the back of the bike? Did you see a picture of it?
The cargo, from the picture I saw, the cargo area is in the front.
Oh,
and
okay.
I'm not quite sure about this business model. I mean,
like a basket on a regular bicycle, you mean?
It's like a longer bicycle with the cargo area being in the front.
Actually, Jay, I think they are on the road in Amsterdam.
Oh, I'm sure they are in Europe.
Yeah,
I have no doubt.
Now you bring it up, I think that's what I saw in Amsterdam. A lot of electric bikes with, they were, as you say, longer than the normal bike, and they happened to have something that was able to be a cargo-carrying object, or carrying a cargo type of object.
Does it come with a fire extinguisher?
Oh, my.
Okay.
That's not nice. but good point. We've talked about this, the number of fires in New York City due to e-bikes in apartment buildings. So, yes, it is an issue.
I'm concerned about the speed that electric bikes are able to go from a safety standpoint. And
I guess we'll have to postpone that next time. All the rules and regulations around e-bikes and speeds and who may ride them and how they may be ridden and
who's enforcing the limits if there are any.
I was doing a little looking, and one of the things that's clear is that everybody is working on the legislation and what the rules will be, because they just don't have anything to regulate these things within the current laws. So,
yeah.
Well, there's also I'm seeing performance electric bikes showing up, and so the electric bike manufacturers are starting to do what the car manufacturers do, and bringing out performance additions that can easily exceed what I would call safe electric bike speeds. Especially, and as I think Mike, you might have mentioned it, and electric bikes are being used on sidewalks, which I think should be illegal, because if the sidewalks are actually being used by pedestrians, people can pedal regular bikes pretty quickly anyways, but at least they can't.
Well, this is why in Europe you're seeing,
bike lanes.
Bike lanes. There are, roads for cars and pedestrian sidewalks, and in the middle of that, there are bike lanes.
Correct.
But that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Well, I don't think there's going to be much enforcement, because there's not a lot of enforcement, as far as I could tell, for regular vehicles on the road right now. So I don't know who would enforce speeding electric bikes unless they happen to hire people just to do that and be in places where the bikes were being used at excessive speed.
I'm more interested in
our
preventing, in education and prevention than sanctioning speed, really, on electric bikes. But we'll talk about it again, I'm sure.
Okay.
Everybody take care.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.